Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Beautiful for spacious skies,
por tus olas de gran mar,
your peace in the tsakuti.
Sui Baba na mga.
That's enough with Sui Baba. Listen, we're going to talk about the Coca-Cola disaster, which we touched on yesterday in great detail. And I have to reiterate why I oppose the multicultural version of America the Beautiful, which happens to be a deeply Christian, patriotic anthem whose theme happens to be unity. By singing this ad in several foreign languages and prominently featuring a gay couple, Coca-Cola has created a backlash, and deservedly so. The fact of the matter is, America the Beautiful, while it is not the national anthem, is a deeply Christian patriotic song. That's number one. Now, I understand that Coca-Cola believes, as do most multinationals, that this nation is no longer ruled by the U.S. Constitution, nor should it follow the American traditions in which English is the official language of the government. I recognize that multinationals do not want to see this nation governed in the Anglo-American tradition of liberty. And I also understand that the multinationals don't see us as a nation with borders, language, or culture. But you know what? They have a problem. The problem is about 150 million of us still think that way because we are, let us say, nativists. We're xenophobes. We're throwbacks, according to them. But you know what? We're really not. What we are patriots. It's that simple. And if anyone works for a corporation and doesn't understand that there are still people who love their country, they're in for a rude awakening. And I want to talk about that again for a number of reasons. I woke up this morning, and the first article that caught my eye was this headline: Columbia and Barnard students film porno in Butler Library. Filmed in November, two so-called directors, both women, by the way, women at so-called Columbia University, created a video which features five lesbians sitting around a table studying. Then as the film goes on, they undress, go to a hallway, cover themselves with raw eggs, and then there's a dead bird. This is considered artwork at Columbia University. So when I saw this, I said, you know, enough is enough. This filth has to stop. And I created a little phrase that you'll never forget, which I'm famous for, one-liners. You want to hear it? The Ivy League to the Divy League in one generation. How we've gone from the Ivy League to the Divy League in one generation. And what I've assembled for you on the Savage Nation for today's program is a list of depravity in our colleges, universities, high schools, and even the first grade, and where it's coming from, who's doing it, and how you can stop them. It's that simple. How have we gone from the Ivy League to the Divy League in one generation? Well, let's begin with a quote from Henry Mencken, a humorist from April 1924, where he wrote in the American Mercury, "The aim of public education is not to fill the young of the species with knowledge and awaken their intelligence. Nothing could be further from the truth. The aim is simply to reduce as many individuals as possible to the same safe level, to breed and train a standardized citizenry, to put down dissent and originality. That is its aim in the United States," Henry Mencken. And I'd like to say that this dumbing down of America is a sinister plot based on total and absolute annihilation of our national identity. It's not an accident that America's educational system is in serious decline. We all know that. With open admissions, with affirmative action, the country has sought the lowest common denominator. People are now adept at nothing more than, let us say, the lowest common denominator thinking. If you can carry a gun and flip a whopper, you get promoted in New York City's intermediary schools, where, by the way, they're now introducing new Muslim and Lunar New Year holidays under the Sandinista-loving mayor. That's right. New York City is moving to close school for two Muslim holidays and the Lunar New Year. But Mayor de Blasio has drawn the line with the Hindu festival Diwali. That's right. Appearing on a local show, the mayor said he hadn't taken a position on whether Diwali, the festival of light celebrated in India, should offer a day off from school. But he's going to move forward to closing schools for Lunar New Year and for Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, Muslim holy days. The mayor said it's complicated in terms of logistics and school calendar and budget, but it's something I want to get done in a reasonable time frame. Now, the Indian community is outraged. They said that we're disappointed. It's very important for the community that the school also be closed for the Hindu festival, Diwali. You know something? I agree. I think that we should close the schools in New York City all 365 days a year, because soon we're going to have to close for Atheist Day, Wicca Day, Satan Day worship. And I say, better yet, close New York City schools 365 days a year, because then maybe the kids will learn how to read, spell, add, and what nation they actually live in. The New York City schools should be closed 365 days a year. But to be more serious about this horrible situation, I will tell you that the schools should not be closed for any religious holidays, including the Jewish holidays. And I will tell you why. Because if you close it for one religious group, you have to close it for all. If you say, wait a minute, Savage, what about Christmas? Well, the schools happen to be closed for the Christmas holiday. That's the end of that. They're not taking away the Christmas holiday. That's number one. And forget all of the others. If the kid is religious enough and doesn't want to go to school, he has a choice. He can stay home. He can go to his church or temple or whatever it may be, and they can come back to school and make it up on his own time. But it doesn't mean you have to punish the entire school system for any single religious group. Enough is enough. So stop closing the schools for the Muslim, the Lunar New Year, and the Jewish holidays, and let's get back to teaching the children how to read, how to write, how to add, and what country they come from. That's my opinion. Do you agree with me or disagree with me? Because we're talking about the degeneration of our society and our culture. We're also talking about how we've gone from the Ivy League to the Divy League in one generation, which is not difficult to understand. But who is the father of this decline? None other than John Dewey. You may not know who he is. But John Dewey not only subverted the educational system as a whole, he even managed to subvert the language of education with purposely vague sentiments and philosophies. And I can go into this in more academic detail at another time. Educators were indoctrinated by John Dewey and his cohorts, Sidney Hook, for example, to accept their viewpoint. And that is the belief that what they taught was irrelevant. How and why they taught were the main considerations. Now, the communist agents of influence took over where Dewey and his company left off. Nothing in America education now works well, and none of it is intended to work well. In fact, you shouldn't expect the American educational system to ever rise again above what it has become today. The entire system would have to be violently disassembled. Every educator and administrator within it would have to be either removed or re-educated to actual values of education. The architects of such a degenerated system must be recognized for who and what they are and what they have done to this country. But if we don't act soon, these subversives will complete their work in destroying the foundations of a modern functioning society, and then education will be the last thing on anyone's mind. And that brings us back to the Coca-Cola ad. It is not limited to the schools. It is not limited to the advertising world. It is all interconnected. So if you have to comment on this, you should comment on it by calling 855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE. As you're calling me, I would like to play a soundbite from New York City's television station, CBS, where they talk about the new Muslim holidays that children will be told to stay home for, and, of course, the Chinese holiday of the Lunar New Year, which you didn't know about. Let's hear clip 18, please, on the Savage Nation.
The Lunar New Year is such an important celebration for many Asian families. There's a push to pass a bill that would allow local New York City schools to close for the holiday. While you often hear Happy Chinese New Year, lots of different groups are celebrating, including Koreans and Vietnamese. So if you go with Happy Lunar New Year, you'll have everyone covered.
Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? Doesn't it make you feel good that the children could stay home and eat dumplings instead of learning how to read and write? That's what's important, is for the children to feel good. It's not important that they learn anything. It's important that they feel inclusive. and that they learn nothing. In fact, if they learn something, they may feel bad. And I think the whole idea of learning is antiquated when you think about it. That's an old white man's trick to suppress minorities. I mean, whoever said learning is important? That was invented by a bunch of old, twisted Greeks. This whole idea of school, learning, reading, writing. That's not the purpose of school. The purpose of school is to learn how to fornicate and feel good. That's the new educational mantra in the United States of America. And so it's time to put away the reading, the writing, and the arithmetic and get down to the real basics of the human species, which is, if it feels good, do it. And why not do it in the road? Let's see the 60s come full circle under Mayor de Blasio. What do you think about my commentary? 855-407-282. Let us begin with one of our callers from WJR in Detroit. Bob, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea because it's a way, I think it's like the Indian culture. I think it's a way to incorporate some of their culture into our culture and to make them feel that they're a part of America.
Well, it's important that they feel good. The emphasis on your commentary is on the word that they feel good. Isn't that what you're saying? They should feel good?
They should feel that.
They should feel good. They shouldn't learn anything. They should just feel good, right?
Well, they want, I have an Eastern European heritage. And this culture in America, you know, it never was really inclusive of Eastern Europeans, where we could point to stuff in our culture and see it.
See, you're touching on a raw nerve, so I think the school should also close for a Lithuanian holiday, for example. I mean, why stop at Diwali? Why stop at Rosh Hashanah and all of these other new holidays, the Chinese Lunar New Year, Muslim holidays? We should have a Lithuanian holiday and close the schools for that as well. How about closing for a Satan worship day or for Wicca? You say, why not? The Army does it under the new diversity codes. Shouldn't we also close for the atheists and the Satanists?
No, because Satanists don't bring anything of value to our culture the way
they disagree. Bob, you see, you're in the past. Because you're an angry old white male from Eastern Europe, you don't understand that Satanism is sort of a New Age religion. And therefore, if you ask a Satanist, they would tell you it brings a lot to the table. And perhaps we should close for the children of Satan worshippers so they feel good, as you said at the beginning of your monologue. Isn't the object to have them feel good and to all be inclusive? Isn't that the object of the new America? Everyone should feel good? Well, let's go back to the Coca-Cola song. That's the important thing. It's the big thing that kicked off this discussion, and maybe it will stop the downslide of our nation. Maybe America will say enough is enough. Maybe America will finally say it's enough. 100 years ago, immigrants couldn't wait to come to America, to learn English, to make it America, to be American. Now the goal is not that. Now the goal is to come to America and scream, look at me. I'm a great man. I'm a great person. I come from a great culture. And you, America, you have no culture. So don't try to embrace me and mold me. Let me mold you into where I come from. That's the world you're living in. That's what happens with liberalism, the mental disorder. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
Yep, we've gone from the Ivy League to the Divy League in one generation. Now a group of feminists at Columbia University went into the library, undressed, covered themselves with raw eggs, and then showed a dead bird. That's their idea of a movie. That's your idea of a film. That's studying film at Columbia and Barnard, creating pornography in a library. This is the desecration of an entire civilization. No one can disagree with that except psychotics. This is the end line of marijuana and liberal education. It's that simple. That's why you can understand why some schools are now declaring Osama bin Laden the freedom fighter, as was done by a political science lecturer at a really excellent university, Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo. This is what happens when you let these unqualified losers into your system. Another school in Colorado said you can't celebrate America because it offends those from other countries. I'm not making it up. In a middle school in Kansas, a father was shocked when he discovered his 13-year-old daughter's health curriculum included references to anal sex, vaginal sex, and homosexual sex. You want me to go on? A first grader was told to stop talking about the Bible in California at the Helen Hunt Jackson Elementary School in Temecula, California. Can you believe what's going on? You see, it's hand in glove to denigrate and decimate Christianity at the same time elevating perversity. It's all one and the same. They're not disconnected. And it's sort of the fibromyalgia of a society. Actually, I could tell you that what's going on is the equivalent of bipolar disorder, cancer, depression, diabetes, blindness, fibromyalgia, insomnia, osteoporosis. You name the disease, that's what's going on today in American society. This is not a sign of a healthy society. It's the sign of a society in almost the last phases of a death. It's a death dance as a result of 40 years of liberalism, which have infected our schools, and it got worse now. Instead of electing a moderate middle-of-the-roader, New York City chose to elect a far-left wacko, Mayor de Blasio, a far-left lunatic who says he's going to close schools in New York City for two Muslim holidays and the Lunar New Year. But he's going to stop it and draw the line with the Hindu festival Diwali. Could you believe what's going on? Where does it end? So, I'll ask you a simple question. I say stop all closings of school in New York City and elsewhere for any religious holiday except the Christmas holidays, which are set in stone. Just stop it already. If a kid is that religious as a Jew, he's going to go to an Orthodox Jewish school. Make no mistake about it. Most of the kids don't go to temple on the Jewish holidays. They take the day off to loaf and do nothing. And if they're that religious and they want to go to the temple, good for them. So they'll make it up when they come back, but don't punish everybody else. So eliminate school closings for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and then stop closing them for every other religious holiday, or there's no end to it. That's my opinion. It's one man's opinion. Who am I offending now? Did I offend somebody just now? I hope not. How about using common sense? Is that offensive unto itself? Is common sense a white man's trick, which is a combination of Aristotelian logic, intelligence, and humor? That's what common sense is. Is that a crime now? It's the Savage Nation. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
When I go and talk to wealthier folks and say, we want you to pay a little more so we can do this, some people get upset. Some people say, are you trying to punish success? I say, we're not trying to punish success.
Okay,
we're
trying to create more success. Sandinista-loving mayor of New York City, who in addition to punishing the rich by increasing taxes yet again, has in his wisdom decided to close the schools for two Muslim holidays and a Chinese holiday, Lunar New Year and some Muslim holidays. Because you see, the children in New York City are already amongst the most intelligent on earth. And they have greatly exceeded everyone's expectations with regard to their mathematical skills, their computing skills, their language skills, their writing skills. And there's no need to punish them by keeping them in school any longer. So let them stay home for additional holidays. So my point is, stop with the religious holidays closings. Stop them all. End of story. Over. The only holiday you're going to close for is the Christmas holiday. You want to call it winter festival, do what you want, but it's closed. Let the Christians go to church if they want. But stop lying to yourself about all these other holidays. We do not live in a nation such as that. We live in a nation such as this. One nation under God, not many nations under many gods. Let me explain that in more detail for those of you who want a little more philosophy. From yours truly, Michael Savage. We live in one nation under one God, not many nations under many gods. And in case you don't understand the connotation of that, I'll explain it to you. Well, I don't have to explain it to you. I've already done it. The one line is better than a thousand words. You know, they say a picture is worth a thousand words. I specialize in pictographic language. My single lines often tell you more than could days of conversation. Frankly, I nailed it out of the park, I think, by starting with this one, how we've gone from the Ivy League to the Divy League in one generation. That'll not be forgotten, if not be stolen by tomorrow morning, if that late. But I ask you what you think about the Coca-Cola ad, what you think about closing schools for all of these religious holidays. I'd like you to call on that. I think it's an important topic to discuss on talk radio. And, you know, what is talk radio? Think about it. We're just another aspect of the media, but you can't do this on television. You can't talk about such topics, even in a minor way. You can't call CNN, Fox News, MSNBC and have a conversation. It doesn't work on television. They've tried it. The talk format doesn't work. It works only on talk radio, which is why this medium is thriving. It's why I'm bullish on radio. It's why I decided to stay in radio, which I decided this is probably the most powerful medium of all, radio. It's the most intimate. It requires the most thought, and it probably reaches more people. And that's why we're doing this. Maybe we can turn things around. Let's take some calls. WBAP in Texas. Jim, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Jim, please, you're on the radio. Talk.
Hey, I'm just calling to pretty much disagree with you on the culture thing. Pretty much everything we have is derived from other cultures. Even back whenever in, like, the Greek and all that era, whenever they were doing all their building, which was, most of it was done by the Freemasons, they blended other cultures into their architecture.
Yeah, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about one nation under God, a melting pot where people come here to assimilate and become American. Isn't that what we're talking about?
In a way, but you also said something about culture and how we shouldn't be like giving all these other races these days off from school, which I disagree with. If we're not going to allow other people that are coming over here and becoming Americans to live in their culture and be what they want to be over here, we shouldn't get Christmas either. We shouldn't get
Easter. You know, you're going in circles and you're not listening to what I said, but that's to be expected from most people in the audience. I don't expect you to actually listen before you call the show. What did I say about that? I said end all religious holidays except Christmas. Why did I say don't end Christmas? Because the country was not founded by Hindus. The country was not founded by Muslims. The country was founded by Christians. Do you understand that?
In a way, but if you actually...
What do you mean in a way? What do you mean in a way? What, because you say in a way, so that makes it true? Who was it founded by? People from Mars?
In itself is derived from a bunch of other cultures.
Well, we all understand how brilliant you are. We understand that we're all a blend of genetics as well. But we're not talking about a blend of genetic material creating Homo sapiens. We are talking about America as it is today and why it's being torn apart, how it's being torn apart, and how to stop it from being torn apart. A language, a single language, is the most unifying element of a nation. Do you agree with that or not?
Yeah, I can.
Well, thank you for giving me that. I really appreciate it. I'm sure that you're an expert on linguistics as well. Do you know a nation that has many, many languages that is as successful as the United States of America for as many people? Answer, no. The answer is no. There's no greater unifying element in a nation than its language, a common language. Yet the very same elements of the left that are tearing apart our society with all of these ethnic holidays want to now turn America into a polyglot nation. It just doesn't work. Why do you think so many ancestors of immigrants in this country taught their children to learn English and to speak only English? Why would the parents who were smart tell the child that when they're outside the home to speak only English? Why would they tell them that?
Because America is based off English. And I agree with you on that.
How can you live in a nation? There are many people who come here from other countries who hate this country. They come here for the benefits, to suck off the welfare system, to get the free education that they don't like, to get the free education, to get the free lawsuits. We know that. The country is swimming in debt because of the greed and because of the lust of many of these immigrants who are coming here to suck the system dry. I know that's offensive to many people because the popular notion is that all immigrants come here to work. Some do, but many don't. And for everyone you see working hard, and many of them do, there's three at home who are not working hard. Okay, they're knocking out babies like tasty bread. And they're not working hard. They're working the system real hard. So people are fed up with it. But if you don't have a common language, the nation is not a cohesive nation, which is exactly why liberals move toward a multilingualism and multiculturalism. It's a way of destroying the concept of a nation. Thank you for the call. I appreciate your opportunity to educate me on this very, very important subject. Now let's go to some of the other callers on the program. Where's the teacher? Who's the teacher? Where's the teacher? Frank on WABC, go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael?
Yes.
Okay, my name is Frank. I am a teacher in one of the senior four-year colleges in the City University of New York, which is CUNY. And I can tell you, without a doubt, the fact is, and God forgive me, these kids are coming in to the college as dumb as bricks. The last thing we need are more holidays in the high schools and in the middle.
Frank, listen, I'm a product of Queens College, Jamaica High School. I know exactly what happened with open admissions. When I went to Queens College, which was a long time ago, it was a very difficult school. They based the curriculum on the 100 great books of the University of Chicago. And then the 60s came along, drug, sex, rock and roll, and bring it all down, girl. And what they did was they destroyed the admissions process to the City University of New York colleges, and they said anyone should be able to get a higher education. As a result, the schools went into a tailspin. And I think they recovered in around the 1980s when they reintroduced standards. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, the tuition was probably free when you went then.
It was. It was very little. I came from a very, very lower middle class home. We had our own house, our own car. My father worked, not my mother, but he said I could never afford to send you to a private college. It was a great disappointment to me. I wanted to go to an out-of-town school and learn how to have drugs, sex, and rock and roll. But apparently he didn't want me to do that, so I had to go to a working-class school, and I learned an awful lot at that college.
This is a great school. It was known as the jewel of the CUNY system. But the kids are coming in. They can't write. They can't read. You know, there's a lot of social promotion in the high schools, in the middle.
Well, that's the kind of student that de Blasio wants, is students who cannot read or think, but engage in groupthink and group speak. I'm sure they're experts on global warming, though, aren't they?
It's not working, because sooner or later they're going to get a kick in the butt when they go out into the workforce.
No, they could always claim it's a racist society, that's why they're not being hired. They can't sign their name except with a thumbprint, but they could say it's some racist trick that prevented them from learning in school because they weren't able to study ethnic studies for four straight years.
Right. Now, what you said about the holidays that are existing and they should be kept in place, I agree with that. There's a tremendous Orthodox Jewish population in CUNY, so we have Rosh Hashanah, we have Yom Kippur, and that's it. A lot of students take off.
No, I disagree with you. You can't do it. That's the rub right there. That's the rub right there. I say I'm sorry to those people. I'm sorry, because if we give you these holidays, then by rights and by law, we must also give the same, let us say, holidays for the Muslims and the Chinese who were demanding it, and in fact to the Indians, and next to the atheists or the Wiccans. So it's either all or none. And if you do it for all, you're going to have no school days left to teach at all. So I say eliminate it completely. And the Orthodox Jewish students, who are very bright and very driven, they'll make it up for 2 days when they come back from yeshiva. They can make it up in 2 days. They can get the cliff notes of what they missed. It all started with the Jewish holidays, and then it's enough already. Now you see all these other groups want it, so you have to say no to it. I don't think I'm wrong on that.
They're pandering to the upcoming liberal voters. All right, CUNY is full of Asians now. That's getting more and more, and Muslims. They're pandering. They want that liberal.
I understand, but even Asian students don't want the day off.
You know,
do you think a bright Asian student who is driven to succeed wants to stay home with his grandmother and cook dumplings and eat a duck?
They are our best students.
Yeah, of course they are. They're great students. That's why University of California at Berkeley, my alma mater, where I got my PhD, was once, with when they had real hard standards, 90 or more percent of the admissions were being given to Asian Americans because they're such good students. I said, wonderful. I wouldn't care if it become 99% Chinese if they work hard enough and get in. Good for them. Base it on standards. So I don't care what the ethnicity is. I care about the quality of the student. I want to be very clear on that. But when it comes to giving off school holidays, I can guarantee you that most assimilated Chinese students really don't want to stay home with granny and cook dumplings.
Right. And there's also the winter recess.
Yeah, you could end that too. That's a racist white man's holiday, isn't it? After all, snow is white. That's an invention of the white hegemony. I mean, I think that the whole idea of white snow unto itself is offensive. I think that snow on postcards should be made into a sort of a rainbow rather than white. I think it's not inclusive when you think about it. I mean, the whole idea, look at another thing that's very racist when you think about it is the cloud. I mean, God may be a racist. Why would God have created a white cloud unless he was a racist God? It should have been a multicultural cloud. And it should have been many colors, the cloud. You have to start looking at things in the true, through the right lenses today in order to understand anything, Frank. Frank hung up. He couldn't take the jokes. No, it's true, though. I mean, you think about it. I mean, what is more racist than a white cloud to a child of color? I mean, he doesn't feel included in the cloud. You know, I don't even like the word a person of color. I look in the mirror. What am I, made of disappearing ink? What do you mean a person of color? I look in the mirror. I see a person of color. I have color in my face. What do you mean a person of color? Where'd that come from? Another change of the language in order to separate and divide and turn people against each other. You know, I have no color. My mother always said to me, you got good color today. Go out in the sun again. I don't know what you're talking about here. It's crazy. The whole thing is getting insane. And it's time to stop pandering to these left-wing fanatics. They're wrecking everything that they touch. Period. End of story. But get it right. Put this on the record so you don't misquote me. Michael Savage. MICHAELSAVAGE on your local station. What did I actually say? I said, no, Mayor, do not give the kids off holidays for Muslim holidays and for the Lunar New Year. And here's the end. Don't cut me off. Also eliminate any days off for the Jewish holidays of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Because legally, and to be fair, if you give kids off for the Jewish holidays, you got to give them off for every other holiday. And there's no end to it. It's that simple. That's what happens. That's the way it's got to be. Do you understand that? It's one or all or nothing. 855-407-282. One quick call, WABC Robert. I know this is a great topic. Fire away.
Hey, how are you? Yeah, I've always felt that this is a Pandora's box when you open it up, and I totally agree with you on taking off all the days if you let everyone in. My main point, however, was to go back to what you said about Christmas being the preeminent holiday for students in public schools on the basis that Christianity is, in essence, the most tolerant religion. It's odd to think that if Christians become an absolute minority, that the society itself will become less tolerant.
Take a look at what's being done to Christians by the tolerant Muslims right now in Syria and in Egypt and in other countries where the Muslims have been set free by the so-called Arab Spring of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. Christians are being slaughtered. Churches are being burnt to the ground. You say it can't happen here? Nonsense, it can't happen here. Nonsense, it can't happen here. Well, my friends, I think I've made my point. When I come back, I have a few jokes for you from actually a religious woman sent it to me. And it's a list of, for those who love the philosophy of ambiguity as well as the idiosyncrasies of American English. She asked a number of questions such as, quote, if man evolved from monkeys and apes, why do we still have monkeys and apes? And things like that on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
When I was younger, I used to hang out a lot at the museum in search of a meaningful social relationship. I used to look for girls at the museum.
So and that's Woody Allen, the American icon. And people are starting to ask questions about, frankly, the letter that was sent by the young girl who claims he molested her. Now, he denies it. We weren't there. We don't know who did what. But I do know this. If you were accused by a woman of having done something when she was a young girl, the cops would slam you in handcuffs, body slam you into the back of a police car, your life would be over. But apparently, if you're a schlemiel who makes movies for Hollywood, you've got what's known as protexia. I mean, if you know the Hollywood moguls, nothing happens to you. Look at the other one hiding in Hollywood, hiding in Europe all these years. So, you know, there's more to this than meets the eye. And a child who's molested, by the way, is molested for life. There's no getting over it. Did he actually do it? I don't know. But she's saying he did, and it's affected her. Now, there are people who are coming out on her side, like Stephen Marsh of Esquire magazine, which I'm going to get to, as well as this whole issue of the holidays, school holidays, getting new Muslim and Lunar New Year holidays. Hey, guys, whatever happened to the separation of church and state? Why are there any religious holidays at all in public schools? Don't they tell us that there's a separation of church and state? End them all. End them, don't mend them.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The Lunar New Year is such an important celebration for many Asian families, there's a push to pass a bill that would allow local New York City schools to close for the holiday.
We don't need no education.
So, here we go. Hour number two of the Savage Nation. Blasting like a blizzard through all of the radio outlets in America that are fortunate enough to receive the program. We're talking about a cultural blizzard that is hitting America. First, it's the Coca-Cola Super Bowl ad in many languages, which offended, let us say, 90% of the audience. I'm sure there are 10% who were not offended, and you're welcome to believe as you wish. But the fact of the matter is it was offensive. Now we have the New York City mayor saying he's going to close schools for Muslim holidays and for the Lunar New Year. And immediately the Hindus are screaming, we're disappointed. We want it also closed for a Hindu holiday called Diwali. So where does this end? Why not close for Atheist Day? Why not close for the Wiccans or Satan Day? Better yet, Mayor de Blasio, close New York City schools 365 days a year. Keep them closed, and then maybe the kids will learn how to read, write, spell, and what the nation they live in is actually called. It's the Savage Nation. Those are the main topics, which is this juggernaut of multiculturalism. Another topic is the Woody Allen scandal that's emerging, whether it's true or false, it's still a scandal, and how he's being protected by friends in the media. Friends in the media, of course, and in Hollywood will defend him, and it's strange because they're all so on the side of women, aren't they? Don't you know? How is it that all of these liberals are always on the side of women, even if a woman sneezes and says that someone offended her, they're right behind her. But when it comes to Woody Allen, that woman doesn't exist. So you have to ask yourself about that hypocrisy. I got this last night, for those of you who want to call the show, there's only one open line at 855-47282. And by the way, the best callers this hour will be given a free $50 gift of Shari's Berries. Remember I told you about that new advertiser I have? I tasted it. Okay, we're giving it away to the best caller because I don't even eat chocolate. I don't eat sweets, you know that. But look, it's an advertiser. I figured I'd try one. I couldn't believe it, honestly. So that's the end of that one, but you're going to get one if you're the best caller. So a religious woman sent this to me last night. She says, for those who love the philosophy of ambiguity as well as the idiosyncrasies of American English, and it goes like this. Number one, one tequila, two tequila, three tequila, floor. Some of it's cute and corny. If man evolved from monkeys and apes, why do we still have monkeys and apes? I went to a bookstore and asked the saleswoman, where's the self-help section? She said if she told me, it would defeat the purpose. If someone with multiple personalities threatens to kill himself, is it considered a hostage situation? Is there another word for synonym? Where do forest rangers get to, where do forest rangers go to, quote, get away from it all? Next, what do you do when you see an endangered animal eating an endangered plant? If a parsley farmer is sued, can they garnish his wages? This is corny. It's on the level of Jack Benny and Bob Hope. Would a fly without wings be called a walk? See, this is funny because this is sort of like non-English speakers would ask these questions. Why do they lock gas station toilets? Are they afraid someone will break in and clean them? Can vegetarians eat animal crackers? How do they get deer to cross the road only at those yellow road signs? What was the best thing before sliced bread? One nice thing about egotists, they don't talk about other people. How is it possible to have a civil war? This is very funny. It's actually the use of language in a very intelligent way. If one synchronized swimmer drowns, do the rest drown as well? If you ate both pasta and antipasto, would you still be hungry? If you try to fail and succeed, which have you done? Why is it called tourist season if we can't shoot at them? Ooh, that's bad. Why is there an expiration date on sour cream? Can an atheist get insurance against acts of God? let's see. When, no, I mean, some of them are a little risque. When there's a black and yellow sign on the street with the words children at play, is the sign removed after the children grow up and move away? Come on. It's cute. I figured I'd try. You know, once in a while, corny jokes are funny. So you know what the topics are. It's the multiculturalism. It's the Super Bowl ad. It's the Woody Allen scandal, or whichever side you're on that. And, of course, Barbara Walters is the doyenne of everything wrong in America. She made herself self-important, and apparently she's a very important woman in certain circles of the news. She defended Woody Allen, even though she's a big yakker about feminist values. Listen to clip 8.
I know Mia. I have a good relationship with you, with her. But I've been with Woody many times with his two daughters. He's got almost a 20-year-old marriage to Sun Yi, uh-huh. which started as a sensation. Uh-huh, uh-huh, it's a solid uh-huh. marriage. He has two children, two girls. Bashay is 14. Manzi is 13. I have really seen the father as sensitive and as loving and as caring as Woody is and Sun Yi to these two girls.
That doesn't mean a thing. So in other words, the feminists should be outraged at Barbara Walters for using such a lame excuse for an accusation like this. But that's ridiculous. There are many married men with happy, solid marriages who are thieves. What does it have to do with anything? But it doesn't mean that he didn't do it when she was a 7-year-old telling her to lay it, look at a train set and touch her. I didn't say he did, but she said he did. So which side do you take here? I don't know. It's a tough one. I don't like false accusations. I think there are far too many of them. On the other hand, I don't happen to like Woody Allen. I think that he's done more damage to the American Jewish male image than anyone in history. And let me explain that one, why I am queasy about Woody Allen, as brilliant as he is. Let me explain it. In the 1940s, there was a black comedian named, I keep mentioning him, but now I forgot his name. I blanked out on him. Oh, Step and Fetch It. They called himself Step and Fetch It. And what he became very rich and very famous by playing the servile black male. And the American white audiences just loved him because it was a stereotype of the servile black man. It was like, yes, sir, you know, that kind of thing. Well, the whites lapped it up. They just loved it. And he went on to riches and fame. Woody Allen is the Step and Fetch It of the Jewish people. He portrayed the weak Jew in a way that no one else had ever done. Jerry Lewis, in a way, did it, which is why the French loved Jerry Lewis. I finally broke the code on that one. I never could understand why the French loved an American comedian. I think Jerry Lewis is great, different than Woody Allen, by the way, because Jerry Lewis was just a wacky, great, crazy, great, brilliant, talented man. He didn't, let us say, harbor, well, let's say, get stuck or hung up on his ethnicity, Jerry Lewis. On the other hand, Woody Allen played on his Jewishness to make his way in the world, and by putting down the image of the American Jewish male, again, the larger audiences loved it. Oh, all Jews are like that. You know, you remind me of Woody Allen. And they think they're giving you a compliment when they say that. So now you understand why I have a little distaste for Woody Allen. Now, having said that, I'm introducing my bias. Okay? But I don't know what actually went on. All I want to ask is the question. Why is Hollywood, which was so sensitive to female and female complaints of any kind, any suggestion of impropriety, as perhaps they should be, without going overboard, why are they suddenly dismissing this young lady's statement that he did this to her? Why? Why would you immediately dismiss it? That's all. I don't have an answer. It's that simple. It's the Savage Nation. We're jammed with calls, as usual. I do culture better than anybody in the radio business because I'm interested in the topic. No one can do it better than me. It's one of my favorite topics. Along with, you know, other topics that I specialize in. I don't have to blow my own horn. You just listen, you'll see what it is, and make your own decision. And let the chips fall where they may. There's another topic I actually want to talk about it, because this was just approved for colonoscopies. It's called the pill cam. It's been approved in Japan and many other countries, but the gastroenterology guild wouldn't permit the FDA to approve the pill cam because it would end their racket. You know what I mean? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, who likes a colonoscopy? That's like liking dental surgery. You know anyone who looks forward to a colonoscopy? Please don't tell me that you do. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know about your brother-in-law and his proclivities. I don't know anyone who likes a colonoscopy. I went 5 years ago. I swore I'd never go again. Nothing would be worth it, what I went through. Never. It was humiliating. It was the most humiliating experience of my entire life, having a colonoscopy. I said, never again. He said, you come back in 5 years. I said, over your dead body to the gastroenterologist. I said, you're never seeing me again. That's the last view you'll ever have of my derriere, doc. You're never seeing me again. I'm never going in there. So now it was just approved, I think, today or recently, the pill cam. It costs very little. It's the size of a vitamin pill. You swallow the thing, and over the next 10 hours, it sends images to the doctor's computer. And if there's a growth, it shows up. No need for the kielbasa. No need for the Valium. No need for the... No, I'm serious. Horrible experience. 2 days, you're taking that, voiding your gut. Horrible. Terrible. So I'm gonna have to look for a doctor in my neighborhood with a pill, who does the pill cam. It can't cost that much. But the guild, the gastroenterology guild, doesn't like this thing. 855-407-282. Look, I'm taking a break from immigration, because how much can I do of it? I've only done it for 20 years. You know where I stand on this. So let's take some calls. Michael on WABC, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, love your show, of course. I think the Coca-Cola commercial was a beautiful commercial, and I'll tell you why. I think you're looking at it wrong. If they sing on their native soil, if they sang in Israel, wherever they were singing from, what better compliment they can give to America by singing our song if they're on their native soil? And I think that's what they were
doing. Let me ask you something. Let me just put it in context. If Coca-Cola ran an ad in China, do you think the Chinese would welcome hearing the song go from Mandarin to, let us say, Korean to Japanese to Arabic to Hindi and then to English?
I don't, but I think you're missing the point.
No, I'm not missing the point. In other words, they have pride in their nation, and they don't want their country's traditions trampled upon any more than I do or many listeners do, Michael.
But, Mike,
why should you let the melting pot melt down the pot entirely and destroy the entire pot that was supposed to be a melting pot? Since when did we start catering to immigrant groups and let them dictate the direction the country should go in? Let me put that in another way. Many ethnic groups have come here and added so much to the society that people by nature absorb some of their some of the elements of these cultures. For example, what food is more popular in America than Italian food from an ethnic point of view? None. Why? Did someone force us to like Italian food? No, it's just a great cuisine. Everyone loves Italian food. That's an example of multiculturalism that results as a result of a natural gift to the society, not forcing it down our throats. So that's where I'm coming from. I can go down the list of other cultures that have come here and added elements to our language, to the cuisine, to our way of life, but the people absorbed it because they wanted to. There were things from from, let's say, foreign cultures that they liked. That's funny, you know, a Jewish phrase, an Italian meal, a German phrase, a Lithuanian, whatever it may be. But no one forced it down their throats. This, on the other hand, is forcing it down our throats, and we're regurgitating it and saying, no, we're not going to go for it, Coca-Cola. That's one man's opinion. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
Hey. Of course, everyone's talking about the Coca-Cola ad at the Super Bowl. Maybe you're tired of it. But, you know, one of the most interesting ads was the Bob Dylan ad, which I thought was, I can't relate to it. And he's peddling cars, and he says, Bob Dylan during the ad, let Germany brew your beer, let Switzerland make your watch, let Asia assemble your phone, but we will build your car. Okay, except the car he's talking about, the Chrysler, is owned by an Italian company. You see, Chrysler was recently sold by the U.S. government to the Italian car maker Fiat. And where does this come from? The former owners of Chrysler looked all over the world and they sold it to the Italians. Nothing wrong with that, but It's not an American-made car, but it's an American-made car, but it's a foreign-owned car. But then again, Bob Dylan is an iconic American singer, and God bless him. He can make some money doing it. Good luck to him. It's that simple. He didn't look good in the ad, to be honest. I mean, a great song, but couldn't you pick someone like a country and western star of today to do a Super Bowl commercial about cars made in America? He looks like a grandmother now. I mean, it happens to a lot of old guys. When you let your hair grow too long, this is something I got to tell guys over 60. Let me explain something. To all the guys I see walking around in the mall who leave the back of their hair too long, it doesn't look good. No one thinks you're younger because you're bald on top and long behind. Doesn't look good. You're better off with an almost baldy than that. And the same to Bob Dylan. I don't know what this whole thing is with the hair. He looks like a grandmother who's like a cross-dresser. A grandmother with a beard. I don't understand that whole look. But he's a great songwriter. Love his songs. Love his music. But I think he's the wrong person to have been chosen to sell cars. He just doesn't... I don't associate Bob Dylan with a car, especially a muscle car. Like, if I was associating Bob Dylan with a car, it'd be like a 1978, a Fiat. Or something like that. It's like a Fix It Again, Tony kind of car. Something from that era. Like an old car that you need to fix all the time. I could see him doing a 1970 Jag XKE like I have, which is in the shop rather than in the garage, because that's where it belongs. I drive it once a week. I bought that as a hobby car. I just had to put in a new alternator and regulator. I drove it a total of 200 miles in the last year. Why shouldn't I put in a new alternator and regulator? Would I expect the car to last long? That's not from 1970, but gorgeous. I mean, Enzo Ferrari said it was the most beautiful car in the world. At the time, it probably was. It still is. It's gorgeous. No one has exceeded the design of the XKE. Look at it on my website, michaelsavage.com. You know I had to push to a plug. No, seriously, the Blue Jag is so gorgeous. The one of me and Teddy in it, which says I'm moving to Drive Time and I took over 52 stations from whose name I shouldn't. Meh. It's sad what happened to him. It really is. It's sad. It's just sad, you know. No one likes to lose, but... Someone's got to be the victor. I mean, someone won the Super Bowl. It doesn't mean you gloat over the loser. I won the Super Bowl of radio. Game is over. Game over. It's that simple. It's the Savage Nation. 855-407-282. I'll be right back to talk about all the cultural and political topics that you can possibly stomach in 3 minutes or less.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Was the loser, now will be later to win, for the times they are a-changing.
Greatest songwriter of our generation, probably the greatest poet as well. I just don't associate him with cars. I mean, okay, whatever. Look, a guy's got to make a buck. Good for his agent. I'd like to know who his agent is. Probably they associate me with a spaghetti sauce rather than a car. At least a tire. I mean, if they could use Bob Dylan to sell cars at the Super Bowl, someone could probably sell me around tires. I mean, right? Michael Savage, famous radio host, tells you to buy X tire or something like that. Big money. I mean, he must have made it. I can't imagine what they paid him to sell Chrysler's. I just don't associate him with a car. I don't get it. He's like the anti-car. When you think about it, he's like the anti-car. Bob Dylan is like the anti-car. I mean, I know he's in a car. He has to drive in a car to go to gigs and pick him up out of a... Doesn't he go by bus? No, pick him up travel at the bus station and take him to the performance. They didn't put him in a car, but he's not going to be driving around, I don't think, in a Chrysler 200. I don't know, what would he be in? Like, what kind of car would he guy be in? Anything. Woody Allen. You want to talk about Woody Allen? That's not catching. No one cares. Isn't that an interesting thing? No one cares. They care about the Coke ad. That's touched the raw nerve. This New York City school getting kids the new Muslim and Lunar New Year holidays, that caught fire. That's hot. That's hot. But the Woody Allen, I don't know. No one really cares. They assume any actor's a deviant. So what's so surprising about that? He probably did it, so what? What else is new? He went back to Harry B. Mayer. I mean, so what's new about old men, you know, preteens? I mean, it's sickening, but we expect it from those in Hollywood. What do you think they make the kind of movies about drugs, sex, and rock and roll day and night? I love Harvey Weinstein, Mr. Holier Than Thou. The frequent flyer to the White House. If Harvey Weinstein could get frequent flyer miles for every time he's gone to the White House, can you imagine? He'd be flying free for the rest of his life. Here's a guy who, I don't know one movie he's made that isn't violent, or let us say on the order of the Hollywood sewer pipe. And the guy has the nerve to say he's going to make a movie attacking the NRA. And when he gets through with them, he said they'll wish they weren't born. Harvey Weinstein's going to take on the gun lobby. First of all, it makes no sense to do so. Secondly, the movie will flop because the only people who will like it will be Woody Allen and probably Meryl Streep. It'll be, the whole audience will be three people from Hollywood. West Hollywood and the Upper East Side of Manhattan will go to it. No one else will even go to the movie. But Harvey Weinstein's doing it to curry favor with you-know-who, Michelle Obama, to make sure he's invited to perform like a clown inside the White House. The only reason the White House has Harvey Weinstein of Hollywood in the White House, in my estimation, is to watch him actually take a drink out of a fine wine glass without cracking it, or to eat off bone china without breaking it. I mean, they use him as a joke. What do you think? They're not laughing at him behind his back? It's like Todd Browning's Freaks. I mean, if you were Michelle Obama, what do you do for entertainment? You invite guys like Harvey Weinstein to the White House and have them act like gentlemen, or like try to act like gentlemen, you know, with their thumb, their pinky up while they're drinking. That's all. There's no other reason for it. Why else would they have him there? So he's returning the favor, do a movie against guns. That's going to help the Democrats. They're in great shape right now. Half of them are retiring before the election. That's what they need now, to attack guns. With a friend like Harvey Weinstein, the Democrats don't need any you-know-what. That's all. Super Bowl FBI sting, missing children rescued from sex trade in New Jersey, data theft blame game. Let me go to websites. Boring. Cost of Obamacare, 2.3 million jobs. Ho-hum. Let's go to another website. There's nothing. They're not doing interesting stuff now. People are, like, bored. Not like. They are bored. Let's go to New York News traffic. These are my favorites. Let's see. Daily News America, Paul Walker's final wishes revealed. I don't know who he is. An actor in a car wreck? Oh, they make a big deal about the heroin overdose. He probably got fed up with AA and did 10 bags of heroin. Homeless man who claims he was in a meeting with Huffman says actor was trying to get sober. Well, that's a reliable source. Daily News goes to a bum in the street. Eddie Donahue, pictured bottom left, was a regular at AA meetings with the late Philip Seymour Hoffman. He described the actor as a gentleman but recently stopped attending meetings about 2 months ago. Why is this a continuous story? You know, no one knows who Philip Seymour Hoffman is except me and a few other people in the media. I happen to think he was one of the great American actors, and I told you which movie I loved yesterday, which was Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. And it's funny that most of the film critics who mentioned the great movies he was in, like Capote, didn't even mention Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, Teddy. I don't understand that. He was amazing in that picture. So, Sidney Lumet did it at age 84 or something before he died. Great movie. But Philip Seymour Hoffman was so, not only was he great in the movies, I said to you yesterday, he played a heroin addict, a hidden heroin addict, who's like a real estate guy who's like going broke and goes into the high rise. He's not a shooting gallery of the type you'd expect, you know, expensive, upscale doorman, and he gets shot up in there in with heroin up there for big bucks. Sounds like it was real to me. Looked like he was getting ripped. In the movie, I wonder, forget about it. Indiana school counselor for at-risk students arrested for giving drugs to students, photographing them nude. Take a look at his picture. Gee, I'm surprised. You take a look at the guy. The guy is a counselor for troubled teens, and he takes them home and gives them drugs and booze. He has them stripped naked and pose for pictures. Then the creep used hidden cameras to photograph the youths taking showers in his home. Now take a look at a picture of the guy. The giveaway is the earring on the left ear. A pair of ears on him that makes Alfred E. Newman look. But the earring, it's always that earring. I don't know. There's tough guys. I don't understand the whole earring thing. I don't want to go into it. I don't want to touch it. In the 70s, there was a symbol. A left earring meant something, right earring meant another. Today, you don't dare touch this. You don't know what it means anymore. Even a nose ring, you can get your head knocked off if you say anything. Speaking of which, another Mexican boxer died. I don't understand why they're dying all of a sudden. These are tough kids. Two Mexican boxers in a short period of time. Got knocked out and died. These guys are as tough as nails. Unbelievable to see this. Let's see, another fiasco? This is what now? Washington, here we go. Another new Coke fiasco. Coca-Cola's Is Beautiful ad sparks outrage. Okay. So apparently Coca-Cola wants to spark outrage. Jerry Seinfeld rants on the racial diversity of comics. Who cares? Good for you, Jerry. Good. It's enough already. I don't care about cultural and racial diversity of comics. Just make me laugh. Stop already with the diversity story. Diversity unto itself is not funny. The word itself gets me nervous. Obamacare will push 2 million workers out of labor market. Okay, we know it's bad. Iranian executions spiking despite thaw with West. Duh. No, they suddenly became Democratic because John Kerry told you so? It's a fascist nation, Iran. What do you think it is? Senate passes farm bill. That's an exciting story. I'd say the average American really can't wait to hear that story about the farm bill. No one knows what that means, farm bill. What is a farm bill? It's basically a subsidy for growing nothing. I wish the Senate would pass a talk radio bill where I can get paid for not going on the air. Would that? Imagine if they passed the talk radio bill. I get paid and my staff gets paid for not working. That's the same thing as a farm bill. And it was passed originally. No, think about the logic of the farm bill. Only I could turn it into comedy. Think about this. The farm bill was originally passed to subsidize farmers for not growing something. Why? The thought was that if they didn't grow soybeans, then the price of soybeans wouldn't collapse and more soybeans would be grown. Otherwise, everybody would go out of the soybean business. That was the twisted logic. It's really it's a form of welfare is what it is. It's welfare for rich farmers. It's basically a hobby farm. They get paid. It's all the bankers and the lawyers. They buy the farms for the subsidies. Okay, so, but by the same token, if they passed, instead of the farm bill, the talk bill. Just make it not a talk radio. That would be too incendiary. It was a Senate passes talk bill. Oh, that's good. What's the talk bill? Anyone who speaks for a living will now be subsidized to not speak. And the theory is if I don't speak, the price of talk show hosts will go up because there'll be fewer of them. And therefore, we can preserve talk in America if you subsidize people for not talking. That's the same logic as the farm bill. At least that's one man's way of looking at the news. See what I'm trying to say to you, why the show is so good? I know I shouldn't tell you, but I make this stuff as I go along, and some of it's darn good, if I must say so. I wouldn't do it if I didn't have the knack for it. Otherwise, I'd be reading a script. That's all. I don't read scripts. I like to look at the news and test myself to see if I can still do it, because this is like standing on the corner when I was young in Queens. I was the wisecracker in the crowd. I'd have the guys doubled over with laughter. And, you know, the beauty of doing it when you're young is you know if you're winning or losing with an audience right off the bat. It's like bang, 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 bang. And if the guys are laughing, they like you. If they stop laughing, you're out of the, you know, like they, shut up already. But they were ruthless. They were ruthless with me and with everyone else. That's what I liked about growing up in New York. It was so competitive. You learn to be fast. And you learn to be on or you're off. It's that simple. You were ejected from the crowd. It's the same basically in life. You have to keep your wits about you while all those around you are blaming, losing theirs and blaming it on you. To throw in a little Rudyard Kipling. If you can walk with kings and never lose the common touch. If you can keep your head when all those about you are losing theirs and blaming it upon you. And others, Rudyard Kipling, great stuff to teach your children. Get a copy of If by Rudyard Kipling. Great. Now check to see if there's anything racial in it that you're going to attack me with. Yeah, search for it. Racial, homophobic. No, sir. Just great literature. Rudyard Kipling, If. Read it to your children. Doesn't matter what your race is. It's called Great. Yeah, I'm sorry it's in English. Maybe we can translate If into 14 languages. And pretend it was invented by a Hindu-speaking individual in New Delhi in 1401. No, he actually wrote it in English. You read some of it. You'll see how great it is. That's why it's called the great literature. That's why when I went to college, I had to read the 100 great books. That was the original program at Queens College of the City University of New York, the 100 great books. And it was based on the University of Chicago curriculum. You realize that was the curriculum for 4 years based on 100 great books? Can you imagine what it's become today? Sammy has two fathers. How to strip naked and do a bad porno film at Columbia's library while rubbing yourself with eggs with five other women. That passes for art now at Columbia University. That's why I said at the beginning of the show how we've gone from the Ivy League to the Divy League in one generation. It has to come to an end. When does the pendulum swing back to sanity? Tell me when it happens. See, there's always been like a swing of the pendulum. I am waiting for this pendulum to swing already. Back to the center. It's so far to the left, the clock is going to snap. How far can the pendulum go to the left till the pendulum snaps off the bottom of the clock? It's so far to the left under Barack, I have to say it once, under Obama, and now under de Blasio, and now under the Pope. I don't know where it can go any further. How much further to the left can it go? I hadn't mentioned Obama once tonight. It's basically an Obamacare-free zone, and I almost got through the whole show, at least the first 2 hours, without saying the word once. I'm sorry, I missed. I slipped up on that. 855-417-282. Let's take a caller or two. It's fun. Callers are good. Let's take a woman. Monica on WABC, you're up on the Savage Nation. Fire away.
Hello, Dr. Savage.
Yes.
Would you consider the term poison Ivy League schools?
Very good. That's good. I never heard that one. Did you like my one? How we gone from the Ivy League to the Ivy League? Do you like my Ivy League to the Divy League?
I love everything you say.
That's all. That's all I need. She gets it. She wins the Sherry's Berries Prize, right? That's right. She said a good, smart thing. Go to sherrysberries.com and click on the radio mic and put in my name, Savage. Delicious stuff. I hope she enjoys it. We're getting so many flooded by ABCs. There's no one else out there but New York. It's not my only affiliate. I'm not a local host. I have 200 stations. For God's sakes, call me from Duluth. Call me from KCMO. Call me from Texas. Call me from Boston. Call me from San Francisco. Every call now is WABC. Okay, I love being popular in New York because if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. But it's true. You know, the thing is, it's a national show. Don't get hung up on the fact that I'm doing so great on that station. What about your station? What, you can't call it? Can't call my number? What, you forgot my number, 855-400-SAVAGE? You don't know how to reach me? I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Standing on the corner, watching all
the nuts, watching all the nuts go by. In many ways, my talk show is very much like standing on the corner, watching all the nuts go by. And commenting on them. I mean, we're watching idiocy. Freaks. Morons. Psychotics running the country. Running the universities. So, I mean, it's just sitting here goofing on them. Here's another story just came out minutes ago. It's on the top of the Drudge Report. Justice Antonin Scalia just said World War II style internment camps could happen again. Duh? What? In a speech in Hawaii, he said, at the University of Hawaii Law School, while discussing Korematsu versus the U.S., the ruling in which the Supreme Court gave its imprimatur to the internment camps, he said, yes, the Supreme Court will eventually authorize another wartime abuse of civil rights, such as the internment camps for Japanese Americans during World War II. Scalia said, you are kidding yourself if you think the same thing will not happen again. The local Associated Press report quotes Scalia as using a Latin phrase that means in times of war, the laws fall silent, to explain why the Supreme Court erred in that decision and will do so again. That's what's going on. The panic about the war and the invasion of the Pacific and whatnot, Scalia said. That's what happens. It was wrong, but I would not be surprised to see it happen again in time of war. It's no justification, but it is the reality, close quote. Now, this is a chilling statement from Antony Scalia. He's not a talk show host, Antony Scalia. He is a very distinguished member of the U.S. Supreme Court, and he said we could have internment camps again. Now, I'm going to get very political in the last minute of this hour. Many of you who listen to my every word, I don't blame you, have heard me say to you that I have been working on a book called Stop the Coming Civil War, which will be out in October from a major publisher. Big book, will be my last major political nonfiction book. And it's about the coming civil war that we're being driven to and herded into. And I fear that this president will eliminate the writ of habeas corpus, as his hero Lincoln did during the Civil War. I make comparisons. I'm not giving the book away. I'm just telling you. You can't even buy it. But I can't wait 8 months to tell you I'm alarmed. So you think I'm goofing around here and there, and I do. I try to have a nice time on the show. But underneath it all, there's a great desire to stop this freight train from crushing all of us. And if you think Obama's a nice guy with a nice family surrounded by well-meaning people, I've got a used nation for sale. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
And I am live. I am live with you. So those of you who have the third hour of the show, which is 100th station. Here we are in hour number three, and what we've been talking about is the multicultural Coca-Cola ad, the fact that New York City public school kids are getting new Muslim and Lunar New Year holidays because they're so brilliant at the academic subjects, they need to stay home and study religion. And let me explain something. I'm the son of an immigrant, so it gives me a little leg up on what's going on here. I'm going to quote Theodore Roosevelt about immigration from January 1919. For those of you who don't know what this is about, Theodore Roosevelt, 1919, is what he said. In the first place, we should insist that if the immigrant who comes here in good faith becomes an American and assimilates himself to us, he shall be treated as an exact equality with everyone else. For it is an outrage to discriminate against any such man because of creed or birthplace or origin. But this is predicated upon the person's becoming, in every facet, an American and nothing but an American. There can be no divided allegiances here. Any man who says he is an American, but something else also, isn't an American at all. We have room for but one flag, the American flag. We have room for but one language here, and that is the English language. And we have room for but one sole loyalty, and that is a loyalty to the American people. Teddy Roosevelt, January 1919. Those words should be etched in stone on the National Mall, because we are under assault by the multiculturalist juggernaut that has one intent only, and that is to destroy the integrity and the national sovereignty of this nation. There is not another nation on earth, not another nation on earth, that would spit on its own heritage in order to placate incoming minorities. No other nation on earth would do this. It's never been done before. And the reason it's happening is because the deviants have taken over all of the government media academic complex. They run every aspect of the government media academic complex. They hate America. And they have one target in mind. The heterosexual, Caucasian, Christian, male. That's the number one target. It's that simple. That's how I see it. Let's take your calls on this topic. School holidays. Should we have Muslim holidays now for the students? Now, I'm on record saying it's enough is enough. Eliminate all religious holidays as days off in public schools, including the Jewish holidays in New York City or elsewhere. You can't have it for one and not for all. That's the problem here. The kids are saying, wait a minute, you're giving off the kids for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Fine, well, we're Muslims, and there's more of us now than them. We want the holiday, too. Then the Indians are saying there's more of us. Chinese saying more. So you got to stop it all. First of all, there should be no religious holidays at all taken off for public school because of the separation of church and state. I mean, come on, let's be realistic. The left has argued that there should be a separation of church and state. Where does it say you have to give a kid off for a religious holiday? If the kid wants to take off a religious holiday, takes it off, and he makes it up. That's all. He can go to church. He can go to a Hindu temple. He can go wherever he goes, whatever the religion is, the mosque. And then he comes back and he makes it up if he's so religious. So religious. Let him go to the temple, the mosque, or the church, and let him make it up with a little overtime so he can do both if he loves his religion so much. Go work a little extra at night instead of playing video games. That's all. How stupid can you be? KBET, KBET, Bob. You're on the Savage Nation.
Oh, hi. Yeah, the teachers need more holidays because, after all, they already work about 5 hours a day, 8 months a year. And,
that's right. Well, that's right. They have the whole summer off, and they work 8 months a year. They should get more holidays. That's right.
Yeah.
And you know how many days they don't actually teach? You know how many days they don't actually teach? They go to teacher indoctrination days, and the kids have nothing to do all day? See, look, I'm a former school teacher, and I have great respect for really great teachers. It's a tough profession. It's a very hard profession, very lowly paid. Although today it's not so bad for people in some places. And the fact is, if you're very dedicated, it's a very hard job. If you're demented, it's an easy job, like anything else. I was told that when I was a young teacher. I was taken into the teacher's prep room. I can remember it as long as I lived. The day, actually, I started the year Kennedy was assassinated. I was the first year I taught, I guess that was 63, right? Is that when he was, when was he assassinated? Was it 63? I don't even know, 65. I don't remember anymore. I came out of college and I took a teaching job. My father said to me, look, I have nothing to offer you. You're going to have to make what you make of yourself yourself. And he said a teaching job is a good job because it's a stepping stone. That's how the immigrants talked in those days. They used the word stepping stone. I didn't understand what it meant. Rosetta Stone, I didn't know what stepping stone meant. He said, well, it means you start here and you can go further, but it's up to you. And if you don't want to go further, so you become an assistant principal or a principal, whatever. But you stay in the, you know, the system, but it's a stepping stone. So I became a teacher, then a social worker. It wasn't enough for me. So I applied for fellowships and I struggled to the next level. I got a master's degree. Then I got another master's degree. Then I struggled again. All the while going to school and wanting to better myself, I earned a PhD, a real PhD, a great PhD from a great university. And I thought that would open the doors to a teaching job for me, and it didn't because I was a white male, unfortunately. White males were dead at that point. You had to be diverse in order to get a teaching job. So they gave the jobs to far less qualified people than myself. Because remember, I graduated with almost a straight-A average from the University of California. 3.93, if I remember. 3.93 out of 4.0 when the courses were real. They were not in ethnic studies or basket weaving. They were in the hard sciences. I got a 3.93 and said, white males need not apply. I spent many years wandering like the lost soul with hundreds of rejections from universities, not because I wasn't qualified, but unfortunately I was not born as a diverse person. I didn't have the right sexuality, I didn't have the right ethnicity, the right skin color, and so I was cast into the desert. I had to wander like Moses in the desert. Well, unbeknownst to them, I wasn't going to give up because I'm a very tenacious character, and it's very hard to push me down when I don't want to be pushed down. I may get down, I may have blood all over my face, but I'm going to get up until I can't get up anymore, and I got up over and over and over again until eventually I had careers in other ways, in case you don't know, and then eventually, 1994, I sent out tapes to 485 radio stations, demo tapes. Two, three, four, five of them said, you're great. Who are you? I started on KGO in San Francisco, an overnight show. Then they gave me a full-timer at KSFO. And eventually, I dropped my other careers. And it's going to be 20 years this March, at the blink of an eye. Unbelievable. I can't believe it. You know, they say how time flies. It sure that doesn't crawl. But Huxley wrote, life must be lived forward, but can only be understood backwards. He got that from Blake, I'm pretty sure. But, you know, looking backwards, I still think that was divine intervention. Because many steps along the way, people try to stop my progress. They said I wouldn't last 2 days in radio because I was too New York. Okay, how'd that work out? What, because I didn't sound like I was a broadcaster from Midwest? I like broadcasters from the Midwest, but I didn't sound like them. I didn't want to sound like them. I wanted to be me. So I became me. And the more I became me, the more people liked me because they want to hear something authentic and something true. I invented reality radio. And believe me, I don't have to say the F word to get your attention. I don't have to wear a wig and have a party on my 60th birthday with a bunch of frauds from Hollywood to prove how smart I am. The fact of the matter is, it's worked. That's all. It's that simple. So here we are. And that's why I'm particularly sensitive to this lie about that we have to accommodate and we have to cater to various and sundry cultures and religions. No, they have to assimilate. That's their, and by the way, they'll be better off for it, by the way, incidentally. Any immigrant who tells his son, learn English if you want to get somewhere is a good father. And any immigrant says, don't learn English, it's a racist society, is condemning his son to a third-class life. The son will never go anywhere in this country, ever. It's that simple. My father said to me, you learned, well, first of all, that's all they spoke was English. My grandmother spoke another language. She never spoke a word of English. To me, spoke in Russian. I can't speak Russian. It's a tough language. What an alphabet. My God. I don't know how they do it. You know, you mimic people from other languages. But I remember, you want to hear a funny story? I remember in my father's store when I was a kid, a man came in and spoke in broken English, but his language was Spanish. He was Puerto Rican. He was a buyer. So I tried to ridicule him after he left. My father said, don't ridicule him. He said, he knows more English than you know Spanish. That put me in my place. You ever try to learn Spanish if you're an English speaker? I took it for 7 years. It's a very tough language. It's so fast. It's like Italian. You know, any language is difficult if you're not a native speaker. That's why we have a common language called English. That's how children assimilate into the society and move up in the society. And the more, I'll tell you, you study anything, you know, you can even be bad in math because there's calculators. You could hire accountants. There's one subject you can't be bad in and get anywhere unless you're a criminal or a lawyer. No, seriously, either a criminal or a stockbroker. No, even that doesn't work. There's only one. There's only one subject you cannot be bad in and get anywhere, and that's the language itself. If you can become proficient in the English language, and you should study it as often as possible, and I don't mean just speak it in a vernacular way, and don't learn, you know, 50 words of English and think you're going to get anywhere. That's for the drug dealers and the record stars. Don't use them as your role model. You're not going to be them. Study the language. Learn vocabulary as hard as it is. Learn the difference between a coquette, a Circe, an Amazon, a Virago, and an Adonis. Learn the difference between a Judas, a futilitarian, a vulgarian, a pedant, an egoist, an ascetic, an aesthete. Learn the difference between a demagogue, a martinet, and a sycophant. Learn, you see what I'm saying? There are so many fabulous words to learn. Learn the words. My dad was not an educated man, but he loved the language. Now that I think about it, he read the newspapers, basically. But he had a propensity for the crossword puzzle. And he used to sit there and he'd use words like mulct. He said, oh, those politicians, he said, they really know how to mulct the public. I didn't know what it meant, mulct. I never heard the word mulct, M-U-L-C-T. They mulct the public. Look it up. You'll see what it is. They mulct the public. Learn the difference between expiate, importune, impute, scintillate, mulct, ostracize, deprecate, procrastinate, rusticate, and vegetate. Learn everything you need to learn about the language and then learn some more. That's my advice to you young people who want to know how to get ahead. Use big words. Don't be embarrassed. Don't try to emulate a moron who speaks 50 words of English and hangs his pants down under his disgusting behind. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
Now, I understand that Coca-Cola believes, as do most multinationals, that this nation is no longer ruled by the U.S. Constitution, nor should it follow the American traditions in which English is the official language of the government. I recognize that multinationals do not want to see this nation governed in the Anglo-American tradition of liberty. And I also understand that the multinationals don't see us as a nation with borders, language, or culture. But you know what? They have a problem. The problem is about 150 million of us still think that way because we are, let us say, nativists. We're xenophobes. We're throwbacks, according to them. But you know what? We're really not. What we are patriots. It's that simple. And if anyone works for a corporation and doesn't understand that there are still people who love their country, they're in for a rude awakening. And I want to talk about that again for a number of reasons. I woke up this morning, and the first article that caught my eye was this headline. Columbia and Barnard students film porno in Butler Library. Filmed in November, two so-called directors, women at so-called Columbia University, created a video which features five lesbians sitting around a table studying. Then as the film goes on, they undress, go to a hallway, cover themselves with raw eggs, and then there's a dead bird. This is considered artwork at Columbia University. So when I saw this, I said, you know, enough is enough. This filth has to stop. We've gone from the Ivy League to the Divy League in one generation. Now a group of feminists at Columbia University went into the library, undressed, covered themselves with raw eggs, and then showed a dead bird. That's their idea of a movie. That's their idea of a film. That's studying film at Columbia and Barnard, creating pornography in a library. This is the desecration of an entire civilization. No one can disagree with that except psychotics. This is the end line of marijuana and liberal education. It's that simple. That's why you can understand why some schools are now declaring Osama bin Laden the freedom fighter, as was done by a political science lecturer at a really excellent university, Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo. This is what happens when you let these unqualified losers into your system. Another school in Colorado said you can't celebrate America. because it offends those from other countries. I'm not making it up. In a middle school in Kansas, a father was shocked when he discovered his 13-year-old daughter's health curriculum included references to anal sex, vaginal sex, and homosexual sex. You want me to go on? A first grader was told to stop talking about the Bible in California at the Helen Hunt Jackson Elementary School of Temecula, California. Can you believe what's going on? You see, it's hand in glove to denigrate and decimate Christianity at the same time elevating perversity. It's all one and the same. They're not disconnected. And it's sort of the fibromyalgia of a society. Actually, I could tell you that what's going on is the equivalent of bipolar disorder, cancer, depression, diabetes, blindness, fibromyalgia, insomnia, osteoporosis. You name the disease, that's what's going on today in American society. This is not a sign of a healthy society. It's the sign of a society in almost the last phases of a death. It's a death dance as a result of 40 years of liberalism, which have infected our schools, and it got worse now. Instead of electing a moderate, middle-of-the-roader, New York City chose to elect a far-left wacko, Mayor de Blasio, a far-left lunatic who says he's going to close schools in New York City for two Muslim holidays and the Lunar New Year. But he's going to stop it and draw the line with the Hindu festival Diwali. Could you believe what's going on? Where does it end? So, I'll ask you a simple question. I say stop all closings of school in New York City and elsewhere for any religious holiday except the Christmas holidays, which are set in stone. Just stop it already. If a kid is that religious as a Jew, he's going to go to an Orthodox Jewish school. Make no mistake about it. Most of the kids don't go to temple on the Jewish holidays. They take the day off to loaf and do nothing. And if they're that religious, they want to go to the temple, good for them. So they'll make it up when they come back, but don't punish everybody else. So it's either all or none. And if you do it for all, you're going to have no school days left to teach at all. So I say eliminate it completely. And the Orthodox Jewish students, who are very bright and very driven, they'll make it up for 2 days.
Savage.
Were you as offended as I was by the Coca-Cola ad during the Super Bowl? If you haven't heard it, let's hear now clip one. Amazing what we'll tolerate. How much can you take of this? How much more can you take of this assault upon our borders, language, and culture until you say, enough is enough, stop it. Just stop it. I'm not buying your product. I'm selling the stock. I've had enough. Just end it. You have the power. You don't have to write a letter. You don't have to write an email. You can just stop buying the product of any corporation that offends you. They've done it to me for years. How come the left does it to people like me and those of you who have all of this power don't understand what power you actually have? You have the power to support my sponsors and to reject those who offend you. That's the ultimate freedom. And when you think about it, no one will even know you did it. That's the beauty of it. Oh, you could send them an email and say, I'm not buying your product because maybe they'll get the message and the ad agency will be fired for taking this outrageous attack upon our sovereignty in such a manner. Now, many of you say, oh, come on, you're overreacting, and it's fine, we're a polyglot nation and a melting pot. That's not the truth. That's not the truth. The emphasis on the word melting, not pot. As an immigrant son, I was taught that it is a melting pot. I asked my mother what that meant. She said, people come from all over the world with their own languages and culture, and they become Americans. That's what I was told as a little boy. It doesn't mean that my grandmother didn't speak Russian in the house. She did. It didn't mean that we didn't have our own religion, which we practiced. You can keep your own religion and your own culture, your own language. But when you go out into the street and you go out to vote, do you expect the ballot to be in 16 languages? It is in San Francisco. That's how they keep electing corrupt left-wing politicians in San Francisco, because the other people wouldn't vote for them over and over again. They're too smart. They know what they're doing. But if you're an illegal immigrant who doesn't even speak English, how could you know how corrupt San Francisco is? How could you know what the pensions are like? How could you know what the corruption is in the bridge projects? How could you know any of that if all you're doing is getting free handouts? A 855-407-282 is the Savage Nation. I know that a lot of people come to America from different countries. And they come here speaking different languages, and now they're here. And they love their nation, and they love their language, and so do I. So what's the big deal if they sang a line or two in those languages? What's the big deal? There's an awful big deal, my friends. It's a further attempt to debase our sovereignty and our borders, language, and culture. And the only proof I have for this, otherwise it's just argument and rhetoric, here's proof that even Woody Allen will have trouble digesting. Now, Woody Allen would be the typical Upper East Side liberal who hates America. He's even said it. Yeah, about a year ago, 2 years ago, Woody Allen said, I wish that there was a dictatorship where we could just get what we wanted done. You don't know how far left these actors are. I enjoy their performances. I love some of their products and their productions. There's great genius in them. But if you actually analyzed how psychotically anti-American they are, your hair would stand up. If you actually heard Martin Scorsese or Robert De Niro or Woody Allen, I would imagine, in a room together, talking about this nation, you'd be appalled. You wouldn't believe one of the roles they play or one of the movies they direct. You'd say, this can't be. How could a tough guy like Robert De Niro, a certifiably tough kid, tough man, great actor from the Little Italy in Manhattan, grow up to hate this country so much with his rhetoric? How? But you have to listen to what they actually say politically. They hide it, but it seeps out. Now I'll talk to them directly, because I know I'm heard in areas where they might be. And they've all heard of me, and they say, well, who is this guy? Who is this guy? Do we know him? No, you don't know me. No, you don't know me. You never heard of me. I've only been on the air 20 years. I'm an overnight success to abuse the Jackie Mason joke. For 20 years, I worked in toilets. Now suddenly you know me. So I'm an overnight success. Right. I've written 28 books. I have a PhD from the University of California. 2 master's degrees. That's who I am. But the fact of the matter is, let me give you something, all of you actors who think you're smarter than everybody else. Here's something that even you can understand. Why am I and so many millions of Americans offended by the Coca-Cola ad in so many languages? Let me make it simple. If it was played in China, the ad, and it was sung in Mandarin, for example, and then in the middle of Mandarin they broke into Korean, Tagalog, Japanese, and Arabic, the Chinese would burn the factory to the ground. They would break into the studio. They wouldn't take it. Why? They're all stupid. All of a sudden, I thought you loved China. I thought you looked up to Mao Zedong. Let me try another country to see if you can get it that way. Let's pick another country you look up to. India. We all love India. We all love Indian food. We all love Mahatma Gandhi. We all love the Ganges River. We all love curry. We all love everything about India. No one ever said anything negative about India that I know of, other than the people in Pakistan. But the fact of the matter is, I love India. I respect the Indian people because they come here in about 3 months, they win spelling bees. How's that possible? How can they win a spelling bee in English? Because they're one of the smartest people on the planet, and they have a strong family structure, and they love education. See, not all immigrant groups are like the Indians. I only wish they were. But if you were to go to India, and let's say they had a national sport in India, and during that sporting event, where the whole nation was watching, they start by singing it, the Coca-Cola ad in Hindi. And all of a sudden, they break into Arabic, Urdu, Korean, Japanese, Russian, and English. Do you think the people in India would take it? Oh, I don't think so. So that's something even Robert De Niro could understand. So now all of a sudden what, you're going to put down people in India as being xenophobic and nativist? So you can't have it both ways. Most American people love America. Most Americans love the language of the land. They love their borders, language, and culture. It's that simple, and so should you. Then your movies might sell again, and you wouldn't have to make yourself into a clown to sell yourself in a movie. You could actually play a hero again. Okay, whatever. There's been a war on the heterosexual, straight, Christian, Caucasian male ever since Bill Clinton took office, if not before. But it started with real fervor under Bill Clinton and his feminist cabinet. How much more are people going to just sit and take it instead of doing what they can do? They have the power of the purse. You see, you don't understand how much power you have. When you listen to this show, I have sponsors, so you buy their products. You watch that, you don't buy their product. That's all. The individual consumer has all the power in this country. That's all the people care about. It's that simple. 855-407-282. 855-407-282. And let me finish it up for those of you who are confusing what I'm saying with reality. My grandmother never spoke a word of English in the house. She never learned it. She couldn't. It was too hard a language for her. She spoke Russian to me when I was a little boy. I didn't understand much of it. Sometimes I dream in Russian. But she never spoke English. It was too difficult a language for her. She was very old at the time that she came here. But when she went outside, she went with someone who could speak English for her. She didn't go out and expect that they would speak Russian to her at the post office. When she went and voted, she didn't expect they'd give her a ballot in Russian. You get the picture? She turned on the radio. She didn't expect an ad to be sung in Russian to her. She came here with my grandfather, with the children 7 years later when he saved enough money, to make a better life for themselves, to become an American. That's what the melting pot meant. That's what I learned when I was a kid. America is a land of immigrants, and it is a melting pot. Emphasis on the word melting. They melt, not us. They don't melt the pot. They don't melt the pot on the way. You know, you want to keep your customs, but don't impose them on me. When in Rome, do as the Romans do, used to be a saying. Maybe we ought to have a new bumper sticker, when in America, do as Americans do. Maybe then we can get the country back if someone had the barbs on the berries. I once gave this analogy 20 years ago, 18 years ago on radio. Everyone loved it. I said, do you know that there's not a living organism on the planet that does not have defense mechanisms? Even a strawberry. If you analyze a strawberry under a magnifying glass, what do you see on the edge of a straw, on the perimeter of a strawberry? Little tiny barbs. Why? Well, they're evolutionary defense. It was to keep insects from eating the soft flesh of the strawberry. So when you have a nation and you have borders, the border is supposed to be the band that protects the nation from invaders. That's why the Chinese built the Great Wall of China, Schmendrick, to keep out the Mongol hordes from China, in case you don't know your history. Oh, that was then? Yeah. Tell me about immigration in China right now. Tell me how many people they allow in from, let's say, Arabia or Africa into China. Maybe none. But the fact of the matter is, that's what the protection was. Borders are the equivalent of our barbs on the berries. But when the men were deballed in this country by the radical feminist left for the last 50 years in our schools, where if a man even says he loves America, he's looked down upon? What kind of... we got to come back from this. I'm sick and tired of saying what's wrong. You have to come back from it for being as out, by being as outspoken as I am. That's it. It's that simple. There's nothing to do. Just say enough is enough. Shut up. It's America. Go home. I don't want to hear your rubbish anymore. Say it in the post office. Say it in the supermarket. Say it in the street. Say it at the school board. Who's going to stop you? That's all it takes is speak out. Do it in the supermarket. Do it at the post office if someone says something you don't like. Stop being defeated. Stop walking around like you got no country and you got no heart and soul. Stand up to this. There are more of you than there are them. And they're trying to destroy you in your own nation. It's as I see the country that way. There's no nation on earth that doesn't try to defend its own integrity, its own sovereignty, if you want to put it in those terms. Even a humble strawberry has small barbs on the berries. Where are the barbs on our berries? Where'd they go? Let me give an example. Police. Police in our cities. They had a wonderful stop and frisk law in New York, which cut the crime and homicide by 30, 40, 50%. What happened? The communists took over New York. The communist lawyers started screaming it was racist. You can't stop minorities and take guns away from them. You can only take the guns away from them after they shoot somebody. So the cops said, okay, what am I supposed to do? And they put a monitor in New York. You know where this is going? Oakland, California has a monitor who watched the police in Oakland, California. The police were doing their job in Oakland by busting up gangs and preventing them from committing crimes before they committed them. So what the illegitimate left do, and I think the left works, by the way, with the criminal element. I'm starting to believe that there's not such a disconnect. I think they're fronts for the crime lords. If I were with the FBI, I'd look for a connection between the loudest leftists and criminal enterprises. Because it doesn't make sense. Why do you want to constrain the police who are doing their job? I ask myself over and over again. It doesn't make sense, does it? Unless you want crime to rise, which it has done in Oakland, California, which it will do in New York City under de Blasio, the Sandinista-loving new mayor. So you deball the barbs. You take the barbs off the berries. The police, you tell them they can't do their job or they're going to lose their job. So what do you think the police are going to do? It's the toughest job in the United States of America is being a policeman. The hardest job on earth. Now you understand what's going on in your country. It's riddled like with boll weevils from top to bottom. I hope I've helped you. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
How we've gone from the Ivy League to the Divy League in one generation. It's not an accident that America's educational system is in serious decline. We all know that. With open admissions, with affirmative action, the country has sought the lowest common denominator. People are now adept at nothing more than, let us say, the lowest common denominator thinking. If you can carry a gun and flip a whopper, you get promoted in New York City's intermediary schools, where, by the way, they're now introducing new Muslim and Lunar New Year holidays under the Sandinista-loving mayor. Well, as we drift into the end of hour number three today on the Savage Nation for February 4th, 2014, I'm going to michaelsavage.com, home of the Savage Nation, borders, language, and culture. And here are the headlines for today. Coca-Cola laid an egg with multi-culti Super Bowl song. The fallout continues. The actor, Philip Seymour Hoffman, fabulous actor, one of my favorite, had said, if I don't stop, I know I'm going to die. Well, okay, well, how does that work? Who's supposed to stop you from buying heroin and injecting yourself unless you submit yourself to the police and go to jail? Because you know and I know that rehab doesn't work. Everybody knows that. The addiction is too strong. Feel bad for him, but don't do the crime if you don't want to do the time or something like that. Yeah, okay. Meanwhile, the federal government spent $464,272 to find out why gay men in Peru get syphilis. Okay. Susan Rice blasted Israel for criticizing the great John Kerry. Meanwhile, a new Middle Eastern restaurant opened in Michigan called The Bomb. I'm not making it up. It's from CBS Detroit on michaelsavage.com. What a name. The Bomb, a Middle Eastern fast food restaurant. Would you eat at a Middle Eastern restaurant called The Bomb? Small business owners George and Rana Kassar, where are they from? From Syria, thought a catchy new name might draw new customers to their East Point eatery, which was called iDeli under previous management. It's his idea, my husband's idea, said Rana. She said, no, it's too much. He said, no, it's like, no, I think it's going to be perfect. The Bomb will serve both Middle Eastern and American foods. Their signature dish is the Bomb Fajita. That's very clever. Now, this goes right into the Coca-Cola ad. How's that for coming to America and opening a restaurant called The Bomb if you're from Syria? Isn't that interesting? What a government. What a government. What a government that permits someone to open a restaurant called The Bomb, but if you go through the TSA and your grandmother burps, she's stripped naked and, you know, searched. Unbelievable to me. And you can't call a team called the Redskins, but you could be a Muslim and open a restaurant called The Bomb? I wonder how many government subsidies eat in that restaurant or will eat in that restaurant. How do you like that? Do you think that they'll serve pork in the restaurant? I kind of doubt it. Unbelievable to me. Unbelievable to me. What a country we live in. What a country we live in. Opens a restaurant called The Bomb, and they're here from Syria. Okay, let's move on. I know this disturbs you, and you don't want to hear all the news that's on michaelsavage.com. Meanwhile, the mayor of New York, the Sandinista lover, de Blasio, is certainly moving along towards making the city more dangerous, not less dangerous. Another Mexican boxer named Gonzalez died after a knockout. Wow. And today we're talking about how we've gone from the Ivy League to the Divy League in one generation. Why do I say it? The former Ivy League school, Columbia University, has filmed pornography in the Butler Library. A group of feminist directors, went and stripped naked in a library, covered themselves with raw eggs, and then there's a dead bird. This is what's called, I guess, lesbian art. That's how we've gone from the Ivy League to the Divy League in one generation. And you wonder where cultural degradation comes from? We've talked about it today on the Savage Nation. And remember my slogan on the Savage Nation. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you America. This is Michael Savage. Here comes the train. Now remember, every time you hear those train sounds on the train tracks, go and look at Michael Savage's semi-autobiography, Train Tracks, now available in paperback everywhere. Time for me to go. Be here tomorrow, right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.